The following talk is from St. Michael's Fulwell, a gospel-centered community for Fulwell, Teddington, and beyond. Our passion is to see every life following Jesus. For more information, visit our website, stmichaelsfulwell.co.uk.
Do pick up a Bible, and we're looking at Luke chapter 5, verse 12 to 16. So over the summer holidays, we're doing a series in Luke, looking at Luke chapters 5, 6, and 7, and it's on page 1032. I think Jill is coming to read it. Wonderful. So we'll have that read. If you want to grab a handout as well, if you're in the middle aisle and pass them along, that's always good to get that sorted out too. Then we'll have a reading, and then Simon's going to come and preach. Jill, thanks.
While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. Then Jesus ordered him, "Don't tell anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Yet the news about him spread all the more, so that crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their illnesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. This is the word of the Lord.
Jill, thank you so much. Evening, everybody. Great to see you all. As Ed said, we're going through these chapters, Luke 5 to 7. And the way the series works is we're sort of doing alternate passages morning and then evening. So if you heard a sermon or two in Luke in the evening and thought, "I want to hear more," you could go and listen to the podcast and hear all of chapters 5 to 7. Or you could go to all of the services and hear all of Luke 5 to 7, should you wish. That would be great. Let me pray for us as we look at this little section. God our Father, we thank you so much for these precious accounts of Jesus, our Saviour, walking the earth. Thank you for this encounter with him that we read about in Luke 5, and we pray that you would show us more of him and more of how we can and should respond to him. In Jesus' name, amen. We were praying earlier for summer camps, and this afternoon we dropped our son Joel off at his camp, and the name of the camp you might have picked up is Contagious, which I thought was quite appropriate given what I'm preaching on tonight, because look where this passage begins in verse 12. While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. Now, Jesus being in one of the towns, at this point, Jesus is early on in his ministry. He's traveling through Galilee, the sort of northernmost region of Israel, going from town to town. And back at the end of chapter 4, people tried to get Jesus to stay exactly where he was and not travel around because he was healing so many people. And they were bringing everybody they could to Jesus to be healed. The end of chapter 4, can you imagine it? A sort of one-man healing ministry, putting all the local doctors and hospitals out of business, creating a little region of perfect health. But, wonderful as that sounds, at the end of chapter 4, Jesus said, "I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that is why I was sent." And he kept on preaching in the synagogues of Judea. So in other words, there seems to be something even more important for Jesus than spreading perfect healing in this world, in this life. Jesus had a message, news about God's kingdom that everyone needed to hear. And in this morning's sermon, we had verses 1 to 11 where Jesus started recruiting disciples to help him spread that good news to everybody. So Jesus is going from town to town, spreading this good news. But as he goes, he still inevitably encounters lots of people in great need. And so in these chapters through the summer, we'll see that mix. Lots of Jesus' teaching, but also these encounters where we see how Jesus responds to very broken people who are suffering terribly. So back to verse 12. This man came along who was covered with leprosy. So we need to talk about leprosy. I don't know what you know about leprosy. It's a disease. We'll talk about that in a second. But there's, you can pick up from the reading, maybe as you were listening, you got a sense that there was something more about leprosy than just a disease. Because the man doesn't just ask for healing in verse 12. He asks to be made clean. And when Jesus has healed him, there's this strange instruction in verse 14. Don't tell anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them. So we need to try and understand all of that, what leprosy is and what its connection is to this idea of being seen as unclean. Let's try and figure all that out. So our first heading is this, afflicted by a dreaded uncleanness. When you're going through the passage, you might spot a little footnote after the word leprosy in verse 12. And if you read the footnote, it says, the Greek word traditionally translated leprosy was used for various diseases afflicting the skin. Now, that is true, because at the time, medical care was a lot less than it is now. They couldn't really easily tell the difference between lots of different skin diseases. And the problem was that one of them was truly awful. The disease that we now call leprosy, or sometimes Hansen's disease, it was a terrible and dreaded illness, and it's still around today. And what happens is, you can see it on the screen, patches of your skin change colour, and you can see why it's hard to diagnose. You look at that and you think, well, is that just dry skin on somebody's elbow, or is that just a patch of vitiligo or something on her cheek? But I know that those particular pictures show leprosy because they're from the Leprosy Mission website. And the problem is, in these growing patches of changed skin, the nerves start failing. So you can't feel pain anymore. So imagine it. You're asleep at night and you have an itch and you scratch. And without leprosy, we don't scratch too hard because otherwise it hurts us and wakes us up. With leprosy, you just keep scratching and scratching all through the night, and then you wake up with a terrible wound in the morning. Or maybe you rub your eye and just keep going. Or you're cooking and you accidentally touch the pan. And without leprosy, you know what it's like. We've all done it. You pull your hand away in a millisecond. Maybe a little burn, but hopefully not too much harm done. With leprosy, you just don't realize until your skin and flesh are burning away. And so what happens with leprosy as it progresses, people tend to lose fingers, toes, even arms, legs, parts of their face as these little accidents pile up. And people would end up horribly disfigured, a terrifying mess. Perhaps we can see the other pictures up there. Pretty scary ones. In the Bible, when Moses' sister, Miriam, gets leprosy, Moses prays to God, begging for her healing, and says, please, Lord, do not let her become like one dead with her flesh half eaten away. You see why it was so dreaded? A horrible, horrible thing. And we need to know that there were clear instructions in the Old Testament for dealing with somebody with suspected leprosy of this worst kind. They were immediately banished from the camp or from the town. They had to live alone or with other people who had leprosy. So sometimes you'd get a little colony of dreadfully disfigured and ill people living just beyond the edge of town. And you can imagine how everybody else was just disgusted by them, horrified by them, terrified to go near them. Here is Leviticus 13, the instructions there. In verses 45 and 46, anyone with such a defiling disease must wear torn clothes, let their hair be unkempt, cover the lower part of their face, and cry out, unclean, unclean. As long as they have the disease, they remain unclean. They must live alone. They must live outside the camp. Well, remember social distancing. Remember face masks. Do you remember the fear in those early days of COVID when lots of people had been dying overseas and then suddenly it was over here and we didn't know much yet and it was not clear who was vulnerable and why and all of the fear associated with that, and then that app that would flash red and tell you to stay quarantined in isolation for 10 days until you could prove you were better. But that's nothing compared to what they went through. We had the comforts of home, the knowledge that almost everyone experienced COVID only mildly. Of course, some didn't, and there were some terrible, sad stories. But for those with leprosy, with that bad kind of leprosy, it generally was an inevitably awful and fatal experience. So imagine being so dreaded by others that they're terrified to go near you. You're regarded as half dead. You probably look half dead. This guy in verse 12, it says he was covered with leprosy. So he's got the bad kind, and it's progressed a long way. On top of all of that, there is this category of being declared unclean. Now, if you haven't come across this category of things in the Bible before, it's a category in the Old Testament of a mix of different things. A lot of different things in the Old Testament law made you unclean. Diseases like leprosy, or bodily discharges like menstruation, or masturbation, or sex, or childbirth, or contact with feces, or with somebody ill, or with a dead body, or having mold in your house. I don't know if any of those things are making you feel a little unclean, even as we speak. And sometimes you look at it, and there's an obvious medical reason. Of course, isolation from disease has a medical purpose. But at other times, it's less obvious. Certain foods were unclean, which seems to be more about keeping the people of Israel culturally distinct from the anti-God cultures around them. So it's a mix of things in this category of uncleanness. And one important thing to understand, uncleanness wasn't necessarily sin. Some of these things were just the mess of ordinary life, sort of biological necessities at times. And others were just terrible consequences of living in a fallen world. As far as we know, there was no link between this man's own sin and this terrible disease that he had. It was just a horrible thing that happened. This man wasn't, as far as we know, any more or any less sinful than anybody else. So think of this category of uncleanness not as sin itself, but as stuff that can happen to you just from being in a fallen world, a sinful world. As Christians, we believe the world is fallen and broken because of our sin. That's the story of the Bible. That's the story of Genesis 1 to 3. If there was no sin in the world, there would be no illness. Nobody would get cancer. This man would not have leprosy. These diseases are in the world because of sin. But they're not usually direct consequences of someone's sin. And the awful thing for this man was that his uncleanness was, as far as anyone could guess, permanent. Until he met Jesus, there was almost no chance that he would get better. He was separated forever from people. He was separated forever from God, as far as he knew, because if you were unclean, you were forbidden from approaching God, from going anywhere near the temple. It's kind of a picture of what death does, separating us from one another, separating us potentially from God himself. So before moving on, I just want us to feel a sense of his desperation, if we haven't already picked it up enough. Just imagine the pitiful sight, his body mangled and distorted. What Moses feared for his sister has happened to him, flesh half eaten away, crying out, unclean, unclean, as he limps or stumbles or drags himself along. People shrinking back in disgust and horror. And then we see his awful brokenness as he comes to Jesus. He bows. He puts his face to the ground. He begs Jesus. Here is a man at the end of his tether. No hope left in him. Almost no fight left in him. Utterly broken by these circumstances of his life. And maybe we read this and we feel quite different to him. We feel more like the onlookers. Sad for him, but a bit grossed out. Glad we're not needing to go anywhere near him. But let me just for a second connect us with him. Because my body, one day, will fall apart as well. I don't know how that's going to happen. Cancer, road accident, heart disease, something else. Yours will too. One day, you and I will be as physically broken and desperate as he is. Maybe some of us feel hints of that already. Maybe others feel it's a long way away. But that day will come. And what will we do then? What this man did, before it was too late, was come to Jesus. And so our other big point this evening is cleansed by a willing Saviour. And you look at the man's words in verse 12, spoken with his face to the ground in total desperation. Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. I mean, this man has a great understanding of Jesus' power. He's presumably heard all about Jesus. He knows that Jesus can heal him. That part of his theology is 100% correct. What he's not sure of is whether Jesus wants to heal him. Is Jesus willing? Is Jesus compassionate enough? Does he care enough? And maybe that's sometimes our question as well. When we suffer or we see other people suffer, and you think to yourself, I know God could heal if he wanted to. And that terrible question arises, if I'm not healed or if this person I love is not healed, does that mean that God doesn't want to? Does that mean he doesn't actually care? Well, in the midst of those questions, look at Jesus in verse 13, because you see the heart and the compassion of God. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said. Be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him. I mean, just imagine all those people who were shrinking back in fear and disgust from this man, watching as Jesus reaches out his hand. No, Jesus, what are you doing? Don't touch him. They're all shrinking back. Jesus reaches out. Imagine the man's feeling of shock as Jesus touched him. Probably no one's touched him for years. And what happens is an incredible miracle. We have a cure for leprosy now. It didn't come until 1982. Back then it was incurable. But Jesus heals it with a touch. This is not medicine. This is supernatural, extraordinary power. It is the opposite of what the people are used to expecting. Think about that theology of uncleanness. Here's what they're used to thinking. Uncleanness spreads. You don't touch something unclean because the uncleanness will then spread to you and you become unclean and then you have to go through rituals to cleanse yourself of uncleanness. Like a disease spreading from person to person. Uncleanness spreads from person to person. That was another reason why unclean people had to be isolated in the Old Testament. But here, it goes the other way. For the very first time, it goes into reverse. Because from Jesus, cleanness spreads. Jesus can't be contaminated by this man's uncleanness because the cleanness of Jesus is spreading to this man. All the way through the Bible, it goes the other way. Bad things spread. Sin spreads like yeast. Uncleanness spreads like disease. Death spreads throughout humanity unstoppably. But at the touch of Jesus, life spreads instead. Healing spreads. Cleanness spreads. If Jesus touches you, your uncleanness is gone. Baptism is a beautiful picture of that. Water washing away our sins, but also washing away the uncleanness of a fallen world, the things that are not directly our fault, that we might even be victims of, like disease. Those are all washed away by Jesus as well. It's just, I think, a wonderful thing to realize. It's not just our sins that we commit that can make us feel unclean before God. It is those other things too. It's a sad and strange thing that a lot of what happens in this world can make us feel unclean, even when it's stuff that we're a victim of rather than stuff that we're done. It's a terrible thing that when people have been abused, maybe even sexually abused, it often leaves them feeling dirty or even guilty, as if they're unworthy of society or of God because of this evil thing that was done to them. And we might instinctively want to counsel that person and say, it's not your fault, you don't need to feel like that. And that is true, but those feelings are so hard to shake, people say. Well, Jesus can heal us of any feelings like that. He can wash us white as snow. He can cleanse us not just of the sins that we've done, but of the sins that have been done to us and of the uncleanness of the world that clings to us. We might have a million insecurities which make us feel ashamed. Maybe bodily imperfections of all sorts or other things about our appearance or hidden hurts and struggles that might make us feel excluded or make us want to hide from others or hide from God. And some of them might be our fault and we need God's forgiveness. Some of them are not our fault and yet they still carry that sense of unpresentableness, unfitness for society and unfitness for God. And if any of that resonates at all within you, hear Jesus say to you, I am willing to make you clean. I will draw close to you and reach out to you. One of the most precious promises about Jesus in the Bible is Isaiah 53. All about how Jesus was pierced for our transgressions and crushed for our iniquities. In other words, how he died for our sins on the cross. But there's another side to Isaiah 53 that is there if you look at it. Here's a couple of verses from Isaiah 53. We know Jesus took up our sin, but also, surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Well, that can be translated diseases. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Those are our sins. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds, we are healed. Forgiven of sin, healed of suffering. The cross does both. Jesus died to take away our sins, but also to take away all the effects of sin, the brokenness of the world in our lives, the pains and the hurts and the diseases that we face. And there's another amazing aspect in Isaiah, a few verses before this. It says, this is how it describes how Jesus saved us from our diseases. It says, see, my servant, Jesus, will act wisely. He will be raised and lifted up and highly exalted. Just as there were many who were appalled at him, his appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any human being, and his form marred beyond human likeness. That's an amazing description, isn't it? The man with leprosy didn't know it yet, but for him, and for people like him, Jesus would become disfigured and marred, and people would be appalled at him. And a few verses later, it adds this. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind. A man of suffering and familiar with pain, like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised, and we held him in low esteem. I think it's amazing. Jesus was made disfigured and unclean so we could be cleansed and healed. Jesus was despised and rejected so we could be welcome home to God and to his people. And maybe we rightly and wonderfully think of the cross as where Jesus died for our sins, absolutely true and vital and central. We can also think of the cross as where Jesus died for our suffering, for our healing, ultimately to bring healing to us all, for all of it. We never, ever need to think that Jesus is unwilling to heal us. He died for that. It's just about timing. Jesus will heal all who trust in him. There is no doubt about that. But this fallen world continues, and that man with leprosy one day died of something else. And so will we, unless Jesus returns. But the cross is ultimate proof. Jesus is willing to heal you and me. He has done everything that it takes to enter into our suffering and take it on himself so that we can go free. When my grandma died, I think I've mentioned this before, but she'd been blind for a decade, and my grandpa had prayed every day that she would be healed of her blindness. And it never happened in this life. And I was afraid for how he would feel about all those apparently unanswered prayers as he grieved for my grandma. But the next time I had a birthday, he sent me a card, and he signed it, "Love from Grandpa and Grandma, all in her new state and seeing." He got it. He understood. Excuse me a second. We never, ever need to doubt Jesus' compassion and his willingness to heal. It's just about timing. So remember that. Remember that when you see brokenness or you feel it in yourself. You can still trust Jesus' words. I am still willing. I've always been willing. Trust me. And healing will come. If not in this world, then certainly, certainly in the next. Trust me. So as this encounter comes to a finish, in verse 14, Jesus sends this man off to the priest. He needs to go to the priest to check that he's free of leprosy and do those prescribed rituals and sacrifices of cleansing so he can be readmitted to society, come back to his family and friends, come back into the presence of God in the temple. And yet, actually, if you look at verse 14, what is the main reason Jesus tells him to visit the priest? It's as a testimony to them. Tell the priests how this happened. Who did this? Point them to Jesus. Now, at this point, the man's not supposed to tell anyone else in verse 14, but inevitably, in verse 15, the news gets out, crowds of people start hounding Jesus again. It says he withdrew to lonely places to pray. Always remember that although Jesus has deep, deep compassion for people, in this world, Jesus has more urgent priorities to bring the gospel to people so that we might be saved for that eternal healing and spending time with his Father as well. So I want to suggest as we finish two ways that I think we can and should and must actually respond to this. And the first way, and it's so simple, but come to Jesus and receive his cleansing for yourself. Remember how similar we are to this man, or how similar we will be one day, how our bodies will decay like his, how there are so many things about us that would exclude us from God's presence. And yet Jesus' words are for us. I am willing to make you clean. Come to him and don't wait until the day your body falls apart to do that. At the cross, Jesus died for us to be made clean, made ready for God, so that one day, all of our frailties, all of our diseases will be healed. Don't wait if you haven't done it yet. And the second thing is, reach out to others in need of cleansing like this. This incident of Jesus shockingly reaching out to this outcast and horrifying man with leprosy comes just after Jesus has called his first disciples to follow him. And it's as if this passage is sort of showing them following Jesus is going to involve doing things like this, being willing to reach out in compassion like this to people like this. And the man who's about to appear on the screen is Dr. Cecil Pedley. Bit of a personal reference. He's my great uncle. I never met him. I did meet his wife after he died, but I never met him. Cecil Pedley trained as a medical doctor and then spent his life working overseas as a medical missionary, a Christian medical missionary. He spent lots of time in China and India and then Afghanistan and Bhutan and Nepal. And very early on in his sort of medical mission work, he found himself treating a lot of people with leprosy in China and India in particular, but all of those countries. There was no cure at the time. And he joined the organization that's now known as the Leprosy Mission and spent much of his life involved amongst those in desperate need of help. I hadn't read much about it until this week. It's been fascinating. I read that he, for years, trekked on foot or rode by horse to a crowded leprosy colony where people had been banished, just like in Bible times. And he worked tirelessly at understanding, from a medical point of view, how leprosy spread, how it could be treated, how it might be cured. And he was instrumental in finding that cure, released just 3 days before his death. Now, that's wonderful, but what drove him? What put that compassion into him? I found an obituary for him in the academic journals that he contributed to, and it finished like this. He will be remembered for outstanding scientific accomplishments and for his many years of dedicated service to unfortunates in remote areas. Yet those who know him well would agree that he would most like to be recalled as a firm follower of his Lord Jesus Christ. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. He knew Jesus. And he followed Jesus in reaching out to the hurting and the unclean and the outcast. This is getting to me much more than I thought it would. The horrors of leprosy in the world are now much less than they were because of him. Because of that calling he felt from his Saviour, who had loved him so much. And it struck me how Jesus-like his approach was. He spent all those years abroad telling people the gospel as a medical missionary, but also having this extraordinary compassion for those that needed it the most. So I want to finish with a call to us all. What about us? Who in need might you reach out to? And I can't tell you who that is. Might be someone you know in person. Might be a group of people suffering all sorts of things. Who could you be a bit like Jesus in the way that, you know, probably not many of us are going to develop a cure for leprosy or something of that order. And yet, what a world of suffering we live in. Let's be like Jesus in taking the gospel and immense compassion to those around us. So I'm going to pause for a moment of silence and just give us a chance to ponder that. Who might Jesus be calling us to show compassion to in our own lives, those around us? Let's prayerfully consider that in the silence, and then I'll pray to close. Lord God, we thank you so much for those wonderful words of Jesus. I am willing. Lord, thank you for that compassion. Thank you for his beautiful stance towards a world so full of hurt and suffering and disease and need of countless kinds. And Lord, we need that compassion in a million ways, each of us. And we live in a world, we're surrounded by a world that needs that compassion. And Lord, we pray that we would be those who bear the message of Jesus, the message of forgiveness from sin to the world around us. And as we do that, we pray that we would bring it with great compassion and tell the world of how Jesus also brings rescue from suffering, every kind of suffering, through his death on the cross. That one day this world, this fallen world because of sin, will be remade. And sin and all of its effects will be gone. We long for that day. And we pray that we would be ministers of Jesus' forgiveness and his compassion to the world around us. In Jesus' name we pray.